Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I appreciate Brother Justice and the church here and all of the things that have been done to make our stay enjoyable. It is always good to see the brethren, to meet new people who know the Lord, some old ones. Brother Short was once a member of a church I pastored in Michigan. And it's always good to renew friendships after 30-some-odd years. I don't know exactly how long it's been. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. I would like you to turn in your Bibles with me. And Brother Justice mentioned some of the brethren getting on my subject. I feel about like a jaybird that's had all his feathers picked off. It's pretty hard to fly without feathers. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. God of all grace hears prayer. And He bids us to come boldly to the throne of grace. I've had some friends that turned their ears away from me in times of great need. But you will never find the Lord to forsake you when you call upon Him. You can be sure that the Lord not only will hear your prayer, but He will answer it in accordance with His will. I think it's so essential for us to recognize this. The apostle says here, be careful. That is, be anxious for nothing. I don't know about you, sometimes I get anxious. I'm like a little child that I remember one time my wife had one of the little ones in a high chair and she put the dish of food there and she just lunged for it. And that's the way I am sometimes. I can't wait. I want things to happen exactly as I want them to and I want it done right now. And I don't know if you've made this confession or not, but I've had to make the confession, Lord, I've been dissatisfied with the way you've been doing things. And I know that that is sin. We're not to be anxious for these things, but by everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that your request be made known unto God. I think that our Lord is telling us here through the inspired Apostle Paul that we're to have thanksgiving in all our prayers. I don't mean that you have to say those exact words, but I believe that we must have thanksgiving in every prayer that we pray. The Greek word that's here translated thanksgiving is at bottom the word grace. And it means to give freely. It denotes gratitude, thankfulness, giving of thanks, and as here, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the act of giving thanks. Therefore, the prayer of which he speaks is a prayer expressing gratitude. Do you know what gratitude is? There was a man, they said one time, that was sitting on his front porch. And a man came walking by, and he realized that he was a poor man, and he thought he would help him out. And after he talked with him a few minutes, he gave him $20. And he went on down the street. Next week, come by, again, stopped and gave him $20. That went on for several weeks. But one day, the man walked by, and he just spoke to the man. And as he went on by, the man got up out of his rocking chair and says, where's my $20? And you know, that's exactly the way we are with the Lord. How many times do we ignore the blessings that fall on us and we say, Lord, where are these blessings? As if we deserve them. He owed them to us. And we should have them as a matter of a boss paying his employee. That's not the case. But that's the attitude that we often get in. To be grateful means that we are to be appreciative of benefits received. And there are millions of them that we've received down through the years. This text indicates that we're to come before the Lord with the recognition that He is able to do all things. We're not calling upon a weak king. We're not calling upon a government that is bankrupt. We're calling upon Him who has the riches of His treasures. And He can give them out wherever and whenever He pleases. And you can't tax His throne. And you should not hesitate when you go to Him. One of the poets said, Thou art coming unto a king, rich petitions with thee bring. I was in the Marines and I was in Thailand. I've enjoyed meeting Sister Green here from Thailand, and I told her that I was in her country more years ago than I care to remember. But I remember that the Commandant of the Marine Corps appeared there. The only time I ever saw the Commandant in my four-year tour duty. But he was there and he gathered us all around him there. And he said, are there any questions you've got or anything that you want to ask? And one man spoke up and said, when are we going to get liberty? The general was a little bit pained at that, I think. And he said, don't ask me about that kind of thing. Ask this man here. Ask me about the other things, about big things. You know, we need to ask the Lord even about the little things. But don't you hesitate to ask Him about the big things, because He's able to do it. So I recognize from this text then that we're to cast away worry and anxiety. And that's not easy to do. You may have to ask the Lord to help you to do that. But that is the responsibility, and we ought to do it. Then we're to make our requests known unto Him with these three things. With prayer, with supplication, and with thanksgiving. If you can get those three things in prayer, as Brother Smith and the others have pointed out, from the heart, then you're going to have the answer from the Lord. Now, the first thing I'll mention are the essentials of thanksgiving. And I want to begin by saying that we must pray and give thanks to God within the parameters of the Word of God. When the Lord told Moses about the tabernacle, He said, see that you make it according to the pattern that was shown to you in the mount. You dare not make it like the temples of the land. It must be according to my pattern. And when we come to pray and to give thanks unto God, we must do it according to the pattern of God, according to His Word. Prayer must come from the heart. And you can't give thanks to God off the top of your head. Have you ever done something to somebody and they just sort of give you a flippant thank you? And you knew they didn't really mean. They didn't. I've done things for people, and they didn't really. It didn't mean a thing to them, really. Now, they may use the words, oh, thanks, I appreciate that. They didn't mean that at all. You know what I'm talking about. There are those then that when they thank you, and you knew it come from the heart. You know what the difference is. You take that, and as you go to the Lord, and you make sure that you give it from the heart. In Proverbs 23:26, son, give me thine heart. I want the heart. Every woman wants her husband to love her from the heart, not just with words. That's so cheap. We want the real McCoy. God cares nothing for the external. I see some of the men don't have coats on. Some don't have ties on. And I'm telling you, God doesn't care a bit whether you got a tie on or whether you don't when you go to Him. Now, we have certain decor that we follow in our assemblies and all that. I know all about that, but I'm talking about when you come to God, you must come from the heart. And it doesn't depend on what you've got on. You remember that when the Pharisee went up to the temple to pray, he had everything externally right, but his heart was wrong. But that old publican, and I don't know what he was wearing, but I know one thing. He was wearing humility in his heart, and he was, from his heart, expressing the concern that he had about his sinful condition. And when he broached that to God, God said, justified, send him home in happiness. But that Pharisee went home exactly the way he went up. That's a terrible thing, to go to the house of God and go back exactly like you came, because that won't do you any good. Saul, the king, had broken words when he found out that he'd lost the kingdom and when he'd done all those things, but he didn't have a broken heart. So when he prayed to the Lord and when he asked Samuel to do those things for him, it didn't get any higher than his head. We have to be moved in the heart, or it's of no value. David, on the other hand, had a broken heart, and his words matched his heart. If I might just turn in Psalm 34 and verses 1 through 3. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise. You know what he was doing? He was giving thanks. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I think there's more thankfulness and prayers of thanksgiving in the closet than anywhere else. And I think that's closest to God's heart. He prefers those things where there's no ornamentation, where there's nothing by which we can elevate human nature, as we so are so prone to do. In the closet, nobody sees, nobody knows, but the Lord knows. And whatever you are there, that's what you really are. Thanksgiving, then, must be given in faith. Without faith, it is impossible. He didn't say it was unlikely or was not often done, but he said it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. You can't do it without faith. And when you get ready to go to prayer, that is one of the essential ingredients. Now, this means that you can't praise God while you're bowing at the altar of Baal. Now, you name... You take these false gods and these false deities and all of these false programs, and you put them all in the same place that Baal is, and I'm going to tell you, you will never approach the throne of grace successfully if you're bowing at the knee to one of these false gods that so populate the land this day. Everything that men are worshiping today is held up as the Christian religion. And then it's not even a 42nd cousin to the Christian religion. Robert Schuller, Norman Vincent Peale, and a lot of those others, they're disgusting. And they're dishonest, because they take Christian terms that have one specific meaning, and they know what that meaning is, and they give it an entirely different meaning and represent it to the people that they speak before as if it were that which was out of the Word of God, and they know it's not before they even go in there. And that's dishonest and deceitful. You can't honor God as Creator while you are embracing evolution. If you bow at the altar of evolution, you're not going to be giving God thanks for being the Creator. You actually disembowel the Word of God. God's Word says He created all things, and all things that exist are by Him, and they are kept by Him. And then you tell me that all these things just happened. That's a false God. You can't name Christ as Savior while teaching salvation by works. I went to the fair with my wife and some of the children and the grandchildren the other day, and there was a Church of Christ, and they had a booth in there, and there was a lady sitting there, and I went up there, and I asked her, I said, "Do you believe what this church teaches?" And she said, "Oh, yes." And so I began to talk with her about the errors of that system. And now I don't imagine that she accepted anything I said, but I had the opportunity of telling her anyway. Now, when you teach that salvation is by works, I don't care what you call it. If you do something, and that thing that you do gains you your salvation, you believe in salvation by works. "In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling." That's the heartfelt sentiment of everybody that's ever been saved, I believe. You can't be thankful for church when you're not there half the time. Now, you just take that any way you want to take it, but I believe it. You can't embrace the gospel of grace while holding to a false gospel. There was some men that went into an error, and we got a bunch of the brethren together, and we went over to talk with them. And they called themselves preterists. They sat down across the table from us. There was 18 preachers there with me. Now, I was with them. But I asked the first question. And I said, "What happened to the body of Jesus Christ?" Now, these are men that claim to be Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptists, and they sat there across the table from me and the other brethren, and you know what their response was? "We don't know." That is a denial of the faith of the Bible. Jesus Christ arose from the dead. And He arose bodily from the dead. In Luke 24, verse 36, "And as they thus spake," Jesus Himself. You see what that said? Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, "Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." Anybody that denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ has denied the faith. Amen. Well, I come to the second point, and that is that God's glory beckons us to give thanks to Him. 1 Chronicles 16:34, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever." He created the world and the universe and all the things that are in it. In Acts 17, when Paul preached to the Athenians there, he said, when he talked about the unknown God and Him I declare unto you, do you remember what he said? He said, "He has made all these things." He's made everything. And in Him we live and move and have our being. And He's not very far from every one of us. That ought to teach us to give thanks. I don't care whether you're looking at an amoeba in a pond, in a drop of pond water, or whether you're looking at a chloroplast streaming in a leaf. You ought to be giving thanks, and those things ought to make you thank God when you think about them. The Golgi apparatus in the cell of our bodies didn't happen. It was created. And only God can create something like that. And every time you learn something, you know, as science advances, and we learn more and more about the world we live in, the things that are going on, it should make us bow our knees more and more under the Lord rather than looking out as they do to these weak and beggarly elements. God is a God of purpose. In Isaiah 46, this passage is a very precious passage. Isaiah 46, verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. Now this is God. This is the God of revelation. This is the God that we want to thank. And we want to thank Him because this is what He is and this is what He can do. And He declares the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand and I will do all My pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, a man that executeth My counsel from a far country, yea, I've spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I purpose it. I will also do it. You know, the Lord doesn't just purpose things. I purpose a lot of things. Couldn't bring them to pass. I've got a lot of things and plans that are in disarray. They fail. I couldn't do it. A lot of times it was money. Sometimes it's lack of ability or intelligence. You know, a lot of things I want to do, can't do. God never had the problem. In the next place, I want to mention that it is our Christian responsibility to give thanks to the Lord for blessings that you already have. You got a lot of them. You say, you don't know the troubles I got. No, I don't. And I know a lot of things can go wrong. The dear lady was in the church that I pastored in Brownsburg, Ruth Cunningham. I went over to see her the other day. Sister Ruth has been in a wheelchair all her life. Most of her muscles have withered. But she could write. And she's a very intelligent lady. Served on the governor's advisory council. But I went to see her the other day, my wife and I. And she said, I can no longer move my fingers to write. I can't imagine what that cost her. And yet, she gives thanks unto God. And you and I need to give thanks unto God. The blessings that we have that roll on us in untold numbers. I mention a few of them. Thank God for salvation. Thank God. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't care what else happens to you in this life. You've got it. You've got it. That's the greatest thing in the world that can happen to an individual. To know Jesus Christ as a Savior. And to know that when this life is over, one way or the other, however it happens, or wherever you go, or what falls upon you, you're going to live eternally with the Lord of glory. Give Him thanks for that. Then you, of course, want to give thanks to the God of all grace for the gospel, because that is the means by which you came to know Christ as your Savior. In the book of Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, almost every one of his epistles, he begins it this way. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And then he goes on to say, verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He was giving thanks unto God for the Romans and for the other churches. And then you ought to thank God for a New Testament church. If you've got a true church, I'm telling you that is an unspeakable blessing. And I wouldn't trade the opportunity to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I remember an old friend of mine, and he was talking to me one time about moving away from where I was at. And he said, "Let me tell you something. Don't you ever move where there isn't a church of the Lord Jesus Christ." And I'm going to tell you, if you get promoted to that status, you've been demoted. And you better turn it down. You go into your prayer closet and you talk to the Lord about that and you tell Him about that and you see what you come out of there with. He'll tell you, you better stay where you are at a lot less money because you've got a church that you can attend that preaches the truths of God's grace. It's an invaluable blessing. We ought to thank God for the Bible. I'm talking about this book. Oh, I know. You can buy them anywhere cheap now. But I've read one account in history before the invention of printing. A man traded a 40-acre farm for one copy of the Scriptures. You know why? Because it took a talented scribe a year to transcribe the Scriptures by hand. We don't even think of these things anymore. We're so callous, we're so hardened that we never look up to see where our blessings are coming from. We're like the hog eating the acorns under the oak tree, and we don't even know where they come from. We need to thank God for the Bible. How many have read and studied it with attention? A lot of people, like a lady wrote to Ann Landers, and she just buried her husband, and she was very emotional at the time, and she buried the Bible with him, but she forgot she left some important documents in the Bible. That's what people use the Bible for in so many cases, and they don't study it, they don't read it. We ought to be thankful for the Bible. We ought to thank God for the saints that have gone before us. Did you know those people who carried the torch in the dark ages, what they suffered is beyond comprehension. When you read about the Waldenses being running out of their country in the dead of winter and having to put their old people in those ox carts and left, they said, without a murmur, their homes and everything they built and they labored for because the king was a pagan and he said, "Get out of here." I mean a Roman Catholic pagan. They did it. They went to the fires with joy and they praised God while they were doing it. And brethren, they handed a well-lit torch unto you and to me. And we ought to thank God for them. These are blessings that have gone before. Then I think of men like John Gill. Yes, thank God for men like John Gill. For men that give the intelligence and the tenacity to study and to research those things that he did and to write the commentary on the whole Bible that's invaluable unto this day and the many other things, and men like William Carey who preached the gospel in India and Judson and all of those things, and I thrill to read their stories. What a blessing it is. Time would fail me to go further. Let me mention also that we need to give blessings, give thanksgiving for the blessings that are future. I'm talking about blessings that you haven't got, but you're going to get. You need to give God thanks for those. Jacob did this when he was dying. You'll recall how he told his sons what was going to come to pass. And I'm not going to turn and read it for time's sake. But you know, he made all those promises and about Joseph and all the other tribes. You know what he was doing? He was thanking God for blessings that he didn't have. We've heard Hannah mentioned several times. Did you know that after Hannah went up there to the tabernacle, and Eli told her that the Lord would bless her. You know what she did? She thanked God. It doesn't say in express words, but she thanked God. You know why? Her countenance was no more sad. And she went back home, and she conceived, and she had a son, and she gave him to the Lord exactly like she said she would. She thanked God before she ever had that boy. Asked of the Lord was his name. Job did the same thing. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth and that I shall see him. These eyes of mine, I'm going to behold him. How did Job know that? Because it was given unto him of the Lord, and he thanked God for the promise of it, the blessing of it. We have many examples like this in the scriptures of these various things. So many of them that we can't count them. Years ago, I had a house full of children. My wife became desperately ill. We took her in to the doctor and sent her to the surgeon. He determined that she had gallstones, but he indicated to me that he was afraid there was something else wrong. I went in alone. She was in the hospital, but I went in alone before the Lord, and I laid my case out. And the Lord gave me this passage in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I went in that evening, I took my Bible with me to see my wife, and I walked into her room, and I said, honey, I got good news. This is what the Lord gave me. And with a tube down her throat, facing surgery in the morning, we knew not what. There we gave thanks unto God for blessings we hadn't yet received. The next morning after the surgery, the physician came out and told me what I already knew. He said, we removed her gallbladder and the stones. He said, I took a good look around. He says, there was no problems. Thanks be unto God for his blessings.